Welcome to People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our podcast, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very special guest, the fabulous Alicia Boyd, who is from the Movement to Protect the People, MTOPP. Welcome. So good to see you.
Yes, it's nice to be back.
You're very welcome. So our topic today is the City of Yes, COY, and how it impacts the communities in Brooklyn. Can you provide an overview of the City of Yes initiative and its primary objectives? Specifically, what is the City of Yes housing tax amendment and how will it impact housing in Brooklyn? And how does your organization engage with this initiative overall?
Well, the City of Yes is a huge initiative that has been taken up by Mayor Eric Adams the moment that he became the mayor. It comprised of three parts. One was more of an environmental issues. The second one was about businesses changing regulation and really deregulation of businesses. And this third one is called the Housing Tax Amendment. It's probably the most controversial of out of the three because, again, it's another deregulation of housing that will have a tremendous effect upon neighborhoods all across New York City. According to the mayor, the primary objective, and they keep saying this all over and over again, just to build a little bit everywhere. However, that's not exactly what the initiative actually does. What it does or proposes to do is to literally change how your neighborhood looks. So that means your existing buildings, a lot of existing buildings will be destroyed. You would get new buildings going up. You would have a major increase in what we call density, or the amount of people that could come into your neighborhood. And unfortunately, the City of Yes has no infrastructure that's provided. So it's just a massive what we call upzoning. Upzoning means is that we take what you can build and be allowed to build even more. And so if you live in a community and it's basically, you know, 4 to 6 stories, well, now they'll be able to build 10 to 12 stories. So it's almost double the size. So you can take communities that have a 2-story and then now have 6 stories. And so that would encourage the destruction of those 2 stories to build those 6 stories. So that's what the City of Yes tax amendment actually does. The way in which MTOP has been relating to that is by providing information to the mass public. Most people don't understand zoning. They are not familiar with the concepts or the language. And so what we've done is we've created videos on our website that really talk about exactly what it is in plain language for the layperson. So you'll understand what it means when they come in and say, oh, we're going to change this R6 to an R7A. People, what is that? We get an opportunity to explain exactly what those text amendments are. We've also we're about to do a town hall meeting on the City of Yes, October the 1st at MF61, that's 400 Empire Boulevard at 6:30 p.m. It's on a Tuesday. And that will give the community an opportunity to come to the town hall, hear some experts, and know exactly what the City of Yes tax amendments will do to your community.
Okay, so you mentioned, you know, the housing tax amendment being the most controversial, and 4 of the 5 borough presidents have supported the City of Yes proposal compared to back in 2015 when the majority of them opposed the plan. And recently, our borough president in July, Antonio Ronasso, he came out strongly in favor, telling the Planning Commission, do not back down, do not scale back, do not shy away. If you are going to do anything, do more. So what are your thoughts, and can you share any examples where you think the City of Yes will, directly influence housing positively?
Well, one thing we have to understand is that elected officials, especially our borough presidents, are ambitious, mm-hmm. right? They have an 8-year term and then they have to find some other place to go. And so instead of listening to the communities, because the majority of the community boards in Brooklyn said no to this plan, instead of listening to them as he's supposed to, he doesn't listen to them. He listens to the real estate industry because he's thinking about his next job. And that's why we have so many borough presidents saying yes, despite the fact that over 75% of the community boards have said no. So you have this, you know, opposing view where you have a borough president who's supposed to be representing the borough and listening to his constituents and listening to the community boards that he's supposed to be, you know, creating. He appoints all the board members on these boards. And yet he doesn't listen to them. He just says, yes, we want more. So what are some of the impacts that could happen? Well, one of the impacts that a lot of people are not talking about is that they want to create what you call affordable housing. And so, you know, underneath the MIH program, the Mandatory Inclusionary Housing Program, or the UAP, which is a universal affordable program. And these two programs, basically what they're saying is that, oh, you know, if a developer, you know, wants to build and he wants to build 4 more extra stories, destroy that building and build, you know, a 10-story building that now has a 3-story building, he can do that as long as he provides some affordable housing. However, what people are not paying attention to is that they plan on taking that affordable portion and actually putting it somewhere else. So within the regulations, they're basically segregating housing. They're saying, we'll take the affordable categories, we'll take these 2 or 3 stories of affordable housing, and we'll literally put them in your district, another part of the district. We can put it outside the district, but if we can't even do that, we could put it anywhere in New York City. So it's a plan that's extremely separatist and possibly even a violation of the law, because it's almost as if it is a segregation plan. So what they plan on doing is taking the affordable categories and literally putting them somewhere else, which probably is a violation of the federal law, that separate but equal mm-hmm. doctrine that we fought so hard for in the 40s and 50s to overturn. So most people are not aware of that, and that's something that, you know, nobody's really talking about or pointing out, this very racist and separatist policy. The other policy that could also negatively affect us is that any building that's along mass transit, like the A train or the 2 train or the 3 train, and where most people of color reside, they would be able to build even more housing along those streets. And they could build single room occupancies. They don't have to have any size to the space. They don't have to. Currently, you have to have, you know, 2-bedroom apartments and 3-bedroom apartments and studios and 1 bed. You have to have an average. Now, under the new regulation, they could just build all studios and not have any size limits to them. They could build them as small as they choose to. So this is a massive change in our zoning laws that most people are not even aware of. A lot of laws are created to protect the public, to make sure that there's a lot of light and air between buildings and there's a lot of open space. These laws will eliminate all of that. You now will be able to put buildings right on top of each other. You wouldn't have to have open space. So you're bringing back the single room occupancy that was outlawed in the 1950s. In the 60s, you're bringing those back. So it's not just about the creation of housing. It's also about the deregulation and allowing developers to build what they want, where they want, and how they want it. And so it will really change drastically how communities look. And that's why so many communities have been up in arms over the city of Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, in Staten Island, you know, their borough president said no, along with everybody else that represents them. You know, they definitely said no. In Queens, there definitely has been, you know, thousands of people that have went to town hall meetings and saying, no, they don't want this. So it's a very controversial housing plan to create housing. And then on top of all of that, the affordable, the little bit that we would get, is optional. The developers don't have to do it. They can get all the increases. They can, you know, get all of these regulations, and then they don't have to provide the affordable housing, even the ones that they will not put on the same site as the building that they're creating. It's an option. So it's really not a good plan, and most people in the community who know about the plan agree with that position. That is not a good plan for New York City.
Okay, so what role does your organization, MTOPP, play in advocating for or against certain elements of the City of Yes? And are there any specific policies or changes you are currently pushing for, advocating for?
Well, we're advocating for an absolute no. We have been reaching out to our elected officials. We just went on a walk with one of our local city council people. We've been sending letters to them and saying no. We have been educating the community and asking them to reach out to their elected officials. Remember that it's the city council people who control this and have control over the final decision. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking them to say a straight no. You know, the city council planners who are lobbied by the real estate industry, you know, want to kind of, you know, pick and choose little parts that they want to, you know, make some differences. But when we spoke with them just, you know, 2 days ago, you know, they act like they didn't even know about parts of the plan. You know, when we told them, well, what about this segregation and bringing back poor doors? Like, they had literally said that you can have separate entrances now between people who are renters and people who are owners in a building. That's the poor door that was outlawed, you know, 10 years ago. And then they act like they didn't know it. Oh, is there? Oh, well, can you show it to me? Oh, you know, and I'm looking at them like, well, wait a minute. You said you read the 1,300 pages of changes and you didn't see that? And yet I, as a layperson who does not work for the city, who's not an urban planner, but just a political activist, I saw that and you didn't see it? So how many things are they hiding from us? How many things that we don't know that's happening? That's why this plan is so dangerous, because you're talking about 1,300 pages mm-hmm. of changes to our zoning laws. And a lot of them we don't even know about. But the ones that we do know about, we're definitely pushing back against. And that is the poor door, right? We're pushing about the segregation of putting a separate place, a location for the affordable categories. We're pushing back against, not having a maximum, a minimum size of an apartment. We're pushing back against the single room occupancy coming back. That, in fact, does not afford affordable housing. There's no regulation that's attached to the single room occupancy which says that you have to provide affordable housing if you get to do single room occupancy. So most of the proposals that will allow developers to come into a community and basically destroy the existing buildings, which means the removal of the existing tenants, have no affordable housing connected to it. No mandatory. There's nothing in the new zoning laws that mandates where you have to provide affordable housing. And as always, the question always is affordable for who?
That was going to be my next question. Affordable for who? And do we need affordable or do we need low housing? Because right. Who really can afford it?
Right. It's not that we don't have a situation where we don't have enough housing. We have enough housing in New York City to house the people here. Our population has been dropping for the last 5 years since 2019. We lost over 600,000 people, right? So if we lost over 600,000 people, that means a lot of those people were renters and owned apartments, and that put a lot. We had noted there were over 300,000 vacant units in New York City. But it's not a matter of the supply, it's a matter of the affordability of that supply. And so people are saying it's not a housing crisis, it's an affordability crisis. Mm-hmm. And that means is that if you make under $30,000, you have a 6% chance, of finding housing. And nothing in the city of Yes will create one apartment for somebody who makes $30,000 or less. Not one. Not one. They're starting at, you know, 60,000, you know, 60% of AMI, which is about $70,000 for one person, for a single person. So maybe if you are a single person and you make $70,000, maybe you could find an apartment underneath this program, underneath the new city of Yes. But everyone else, no. So it's not really addressing the affordability crisis that we have. All it's doing is giving developers an opportunity to come and basically destroy neighborhoods, put more housing there in more unhealthy ways that are cheaper for them, and we get nothing in return.
So looking ahead, what do you believe are the next steps for improving housing conditions and affordability? And how can individuals engage? You know, your organization is doing so much. How can organizations like yours, community organizations, and policymakers work together to achieve those goals?
You know, one of the things, if we know that there's 300,000 warehouse units, why aren't we sitting there putting fines and passing legislation that says if you warehouse an apartment for a certain amount of time, you know, we're going to fine you? This has been done successfully in other parts of the country and outside of the country, and it has helped with bringing those apartments online so that developers don't and real estate people don't hold on to them and then say, oh, it's a housing crisis, when it's not a housing crisis because we have enough housing. Just that simple policy could avail us to 300,000 apartments. And boy, what a difference that would make without having to build one new apartment, without having to build one, you know. So, but immediately what has to happen is the city of Yes has to die. It has to die. And so we're asking our elected officials, and we're asking people to call your elected official, your city council person, send them a note, send them a letter. If you're on Facebook, get on their Facebook, follow them. Tell them to vote a straight no. Don't negotiate. How are you negotiating 1,300 pages? It's impossible, especially when you have city council urban planners making the excuse that they don't know all of the 1,300 pages of changes, that they themselves have read it, quote unquote, and didn't see certain very important aspects of it. So it's not something, because it's so huge and the changes are so drastic and they're happening so quickly, it should die in a more thorough look at what needs to be done that incorporates communities, listening to their voices, taking into consideration what they want. This was a plan that was created by the real estate industry of New York. They created it, and then they dropped it on us and said, hey, this is what we want to do, and live with it. Well, we shouldn't have to live with it. So I asked people to, you know, become more of an advocate, you know, reach out to your elected official. And then join and follow people like MTOP, like organizations that are out there fighting. Mm-hmm. If you see a notice on your door, or you hear about an activity happening around the city of Yes, get involved. They will be having hearings in front of the city council. You know, stay tuned to those hearings. If you want to go to our website and sign up to receive our emails, then please do so. You know, you can contact us at 718-703-3086 and talk to somebody and give us your information, and we'll put you on our email list. You know, and we'll let you know when those hearings are happening. You know, we'll send you flyers that you can print and give it to others. Because once they push this and they pass it, then we will have to live with the repercussions of it. And we may not see it immediately, but we'll see it within 3 to 5 years. We'll start seeing buildings just being destroyed and monstrosities going up. And we'll just see, you know, tons and tons of, you know, could be hundreds and thousands of new people in our neighborhood with no infrastructure, with nobody improving our train systems, nobody improving our sewer systems, nobody, you know, giving us more police or more fire, nothing. Nothing. It's just a massive increase.
Okay. So once again, just give out your website, your contact information, so persons can get more information about your town hall meeting, the videos that you have, as well as if they just want to contact you.
Right. Our website is www.mtop. That's M as in Mary, T as in Tom, O as in Octopus, P as in Paul, P as in Paul. .org. So it's MTOP, MTOPP.org. You're welcome to go there. Again, you're welcome to contact us at 718-703-3086, or you're welcome to send us an email at info@MTOPP.org.
All right. So thank you so much, Ms. Boyd, for being here.
You're welcome.
And sharing this valuable information with our audience, and we look forward to having you back again.
Yes, and thank you for inviting me. Appreciate
it. You're so very welcome. People Power and Politics is brought to you courtesy the law firm of Figaro and Associates. For a no obligation legal consultation, call 855-768-8845. That's 855-768-8845, or you can visit us at www.askthelawyer.us. That's www.askthelawyer.us. You can call us on issues such as personal injury, accidents, medical malpractice, divorce, separation, child custody, support, wills and probate, estate planning, deed transfers, elder law, real estate, bankruptcy, corporate, business law, immigration, civil rights, criminal defense, taxes, both individual and business. The number to call, the number to share, and the number to keep is 855-768-8845. That's 855-768-8845. Or you can visit us at www.askthelawyer.us. That's www.askthelawyer.us.
People Power and Politics, Hard Talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.